All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines here. We've got a lot to sort out tonight on tonight's program. Jesus said there will be signs in the earth. He said there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. He said there will be certain events that will take place. And for us as believers, that we can identify and know the times and seasons in which we're in. But at the same token, he also warned us and said that no man will know the day or the specific hour of his return, not the angels in heaven, not him, but only his Father only. So we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to cover that much more. So let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapell, the founder, the voice and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if you're new, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below on whatever platform you may be watching from. Let us know that you're new and where you guys are tuning in from. We had an amazing prayer last night, guys. We did our first corporate prayer night. This was last night, and I was amazed. At one point, we had 400 people live for a prayer session. That is amazing for a live streaming prayer service. We had a powerful time in the Lord. We're already getting testimonies. Let me show you one of these testimonies. Literally within 30 minutes of us ending the live prayer stream, we got this on our Telegram channel. We got this message, and I knew I had to post this and share this. So listen to this. This again, within 30 minutes of us doing this prayer session, in one part of the prayer that we did last night during the time we had about an hour of prayer. We specifically pray for lost loved ones and prodigal sons and daughters. I want to read you this quote. I was on, and she's talking about on the streaming, on the live streaming prayer session. During prayer, my sister in Christ text saying that her prodigal daughter texted her back. Listen to this. It's the prodigal daughter's birthday, and her mother sent a happy birthday text. Now, you may say, well, what's the big deal about that? Listen, she replied, thank you. I love you. After years of radio silence, apparently these two had not spoken to each other for years. Her prayers were answered during this live prayer session. She has been praying for so long. And she goes on to say, thank you for praying for us in the state of California. So come on, guys. Isn't that powerful? God, I'm telling you, God answers prayer. So listen, I want to encourage you every Monday night. We're starting this up every Monday night. 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're doing live prayer. We would love for you to be a part of this. Again, this is only on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. If you're listening by Rumble or whatever platform, or you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, you need to come over and subscribe to our YouTube channel. All the links are there on our website, guys. It's all over the place. You can find us. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. So that way you can be a part of these sessions. When we stream live, there's a live chat session that comes up on there so that you can be a part. And then if you can't be a part of it live, go back and watch the rebroadcast of that and come into agreement with this. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. If you just stumbled across us today, we want to encourage you to subscribe to us. And also, listen, download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can get it free today. When you download it, hit yes to push notifications. And this is how you can keep up with our ministry. Everything's going to be there. Every podcast, every headline, even the prayer session, guys, will be in there under the watch section of where you watch the podcast. It's all going to be there for your convenience to be a blessing to you. So before we get started today, one more favor. It only take you a second to do this. Please smash that like button. That's going to help us push this out so other eyes can see it on the algorithms of these platforms, Rumble, YouTube. Go further. Hit the subscribe button. Hit that bell notification so you can keep up to date with everything that we put out on these platforms. So you should be covered, guys. You got the app. You subscribe to us on YouTube. You're following us on podcast, which we're on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You should be squared away. You should have everything you need to keep up with this. So today I want to talk about the significance of where Jesus said in his, and you go to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. In these are what's called the synoptic gospels. All of these, in these passages, we see an account where the Lord was asked, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And he goes through this whole list and he tells them there will be certain signs to watch out for. There will be events, there will be disasters, there will be deception, there are all these things will happen. In that, he also tells us, and I'm going to pull this up so you can follow along with me here. Again, we're in the New King James in verse 25 of Luke 21. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken today. We're going to talk a lot about the sun. Now, this is not going to be your typical, I know we've done many of these segments and these broadcasts, and a lot of times it almost seems like it's repetitive or regurgitated, but this is significant today because I want to show you some significant stuff to pay attention to. But then I'm going to warn you about the things that Jesus warned about false prophets and deception in the last days that are deceiving people. So you don't want to miss this segment. I'm telling you, stick around. So there was an article, and I want to show you this. This was from Michael Snyder. Again, themostimportantnews.com, economiccollapse.com. Here is the title of this. We're going to talk about this for a minute. The sun is doing something that is not supposed to do. It's even baffled scientists. It's caught them by surprise. And this could mean big trouble in months ahead. So what is he talking about here? The sun has been far more active than scientists originally anticipated for this year. And this could have serious implications for all of us in the months ahead. Fluctuations in solar activity affect our climate more than anything else does. And we also tend to see more earthquakes when solar activity is at elevated levels. Let me say that again. Earthquake activity is increased when there is more solar activity. Now, stop. You guys realize that Northern California right now is having an earthquake swarm. There has been multiple reports that's come out and warned again. And I know they've done this over and over and it's become almost repetitive and it's almost like the boy who cried wolf, but they are, I don't know how much more they can warn, but they're saying, look guys, the big one is coming. California is going to get hit by a mega thrust earthquake. And all the signs and indications there were overdue for it. All the red lights are flashing, the alarm bells and everything's going off. And here we have solar activity that's increasing earthquake activity. So this is not a good combination here. The current solar cycle is supposed to reach a peak at some point during the next 12 months. But so far, there are no signs that solar activity is even slowing. In fact, the average number of sunspots that we witnessed last month in the month of August was the highest that we've seen since 2001. That's an interesting year. That was the year, of course, of the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon. The average number of sunspots reached 215.5 in August, according to a Solar Influences Data Analysis Center. Again, this is at the Royal Observatory in Belgium. And again, it's the highest number since September to December of 2001. July's total was 196.5 in the month of in July. And in the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration Space Weather Prediction Center, that's a lot there, issued a preliminary statement to solar activity as at its highest since March of 2001. Scientists originally projected that we would see about half as many sunspots during the month of August, but that's not what happened. Experts had predicted that the month of August would only see half as many sunspots than we had in July, indicating that the solar maximum is imminent and it may be more active than anticipated, possibly bringing intense solar flares and coronal mass ejections. Now, this is why it's significant, and this is why we're talking about this today. The number of sunspots has been increasing at an exponential rate for the past couple of months. And if we don't get a reprieve this month, in the month of September, we could see more severe geomagnetic storms like we did back in May. Now, in case you were under a rock somewhere and you were not aware of this, in May of this year, Earth experienced its strongest geomagnetic storm in the past 20 years. From this storm, there was auroras that were visible much farther south than usual, and it even included regions as far as Florida and Mexico. If another large sunspot appears around the time of the September equinox, this could lead to a similar or even stronger event. When these large geomagnetic storms occur, it can disrupt our lives in countless ways. I do got a little video here that I want to give you as a presentation from PBS to give you a little understanding of what we're talking about here. Let's check this out.
They don't affect humans, so we didn't know about them until we developed technologies that were disrupted by them.
We've known since the middle of the 19th century about geomagnetically induced currents, and that was back in the day when the high-tech thing in the world was the telegraph network. We're going way back here, and one fine day, a day where there were auroras in the tropics, was a day...
Now, he's getting ready to elaborate on the Carrington event. Now, listen, guys, if you wonder why I have to stop this and interject my commentary every so far, if we don't, we'll get flagged on this and we won't be able to keep it up. So by fair trade and all anybody who does these YouTube videos and podcast stuff, and if they share clips, they understand this is kind of a law in the YouTube land, if you would. So that's why we have to stop this and do commentary. But he's getting ready to elaborate on the Carrington event that took place. Listen to this. Check this out.
Day when there were sparks coming out of many of the telegraph stations in the world. Literally sparks were flying and had nothing to do with the telegraph signal.
Now, look what it says here. This was one of the most severe disturbances for many years, extending even to Europe. Telephone wires also obstructed. Business delayed a good part of the day. So this was a major, major solar event. In my opinion, this fits the bill of Luke 21. There will be signs in the sun. And he says that men's hearts fail them for fear of the expectation of things coming upon the earth. This, guys, could literally fit that bill of one of those events.
And people at that point were trying to understand what is going on. There seems to be a connection between the sun and this strange phenomenon we've seen on the telegraph network. Now, we get to more recent times, and in 2012, where we started to have good instrumentation in orbit and also out in deeper space, we saw a gigantic coronal mass ejection.
The reason we didn't see any news on it, the reason we didn't have much in the way of impacts, was because it missed us. We got lucky.
Yeah, we need to be very thankful it did miss us.
The sun, that big globe, 93 million miles away from us, there's only a window of about 40 degrees on a 360-degree ball. I often reference it as the kill zone.
Wow.
The ramifications of that would have been very serious, because the grid now that we depend on for essentially all of technological civilization is more fragile than it's ever been.
Now, did you hear that? That's reassuring, isn't it? Our grid is more fragile than ever before.
If we were hit by a CME as large as the 2012 event, life on Earth would not immediately be at risk.
But some of our most relied upon technology would be.
Had we had that event hit, the estimate is a substantial part of the American power grid would have gone down. And had it gone down for a sustained period of time, keeping in mind it takes a long time to get these replacement transformers, years, since absolutely all critical infrastructure, with only a few exceptions, depends on the power always being on, the ramifications were really significant.
The United States power grid relies on approximately 2,200 massive electrical transformers to distribute electricity throughout the country. The system was built long before we had any real understanding of how induced currents from the sun during these large storms would impact it.
Now, there is also reports saying that the increased solar activity has also been one of the primary reasons why there has been so much intense heat. All these record weather heat, these records have been shattered because of this intense heat wave. I believe it was Arizona alone saw a record of 100 straight days of 100 plus degree weather. Summer broke, and I'm going to give you a quote here. Summer broke global heat records for the second straight year, and scientists have confirmed, putting 2024 firmly on track to be the hottest year in recorded history. Have you noticed they say this every year? Because every single year, guys, it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And listen, we could debate that all day long, but unless you're in one of these areas, you could say it's not. But if you're living in one of these places where it's this hot, you will testify to this. The period between June and August, summer in the Northern Hemisphere, was the world's hottest such period since records began in 1940. This is according to a data published Friday by Europe's Climate Change Service. Now, and to stress this, I want to say, let's shift gears here and talk about seismic activity. When there is an increased activity of solar significance, this will also increase seismic activity and make this more probable for seismic zones that are known to have these things take place. In particular, a lot of experts are quite alarmed about all the shaking that we've recently witnessed in California. Residents in California experienced a swarm of five earthquakes within the past 48 hours. There was a magnitude 4.4 that was felt in the north around Lake County on Saturday, and two more struck the area the following evening, and these roughly around 2.7 magnitude or 2.8. Locals in Southern California also reported two more quakes on Saturday, with the largest ranking at a magnitude 3.9. Within the past 7 days, there have been more than 900 earthquakes in California and Nevada. Now, also what's happening, in case you didn't know this, that on September 6th, a gigantic crack in the earth suddenly opened up, actually swallowing four cows. This actually happened. You didn't hear about anything about this on the news. A large earth cracked open in Ejido J. Cruz Galvez, and please, if I slaughtered if you're from California or Mexico, please forgive me. This is located in the municipality of Sonora, Mexico. I believe that's how you say that. And on September 6th, again, this event ended up swallowing four cows. The earth literally opened up. The crack is reported to be approximately 1.8 miles long and 5 feet wide, with a depth of 13 feet in some sections of this. Guys, this is like, you've seen the movie 2012. You remember in that movie where they're in that store and there was an earthquake and the ground just cracked open. This is literally what's happening here. According to the rancher who recorded a video of the crack, it swallowed four cows, and local authorities have not yet issued any statements regarding the matter. All right, we got some video on this. Let's watch it. This is the actual video that was taken of this. Check this out. Look at the size of this crack, guys, that opened up. Look, I do not speak Spanish, so I don't know if you can interpret in the comments. Feel free to do that. So I have no clue what he's talking about. Obviously, he's referencing the event taking place here. Hope he's not cussing or anything, but don't know.
Evolución de tierra.
Let's just mute this. We don't even need to have that up there. There's no point in that. So, but look at this. Look, this is where those cows fell into this. This crack is so big. Again, 1.8 miles long. 1.8 miles long. And what was it? 13 feet deep. And it actually killed these cows. These four cows, four of his cattle, fell into this crack that opened up and swallowed them up. And this is happening. Now, this also comes this also comes on the heels of a report where the ground under the feet of residents at Rancho Palos Verdes, however you pronounce that, is moving up to 10 inches a week. Again, the ground itself is shifting about 10 inches a week. Now, this location is about 30 miles away from downtown Los Angeles. Think about that. And the constant land movement in that community is so intense that it's busting gas lines, causing homes to sink and creating enormous cracks in the roads. So again, what are we talking about? Let's do a little quick recap. The sun is increasing in its activity. If it continues to increase, if this does not diminish, and this thing continues to intensify, and it shoots off and it produces these coronal mass ejections and it causes these geomagnetic solar storms like we had back in May or larger, and we have a, God forbid, a Carrington event, then this could create all kinds of chaos, from knocking out power grids, disruption of transportation, communications, and the increase of seismic activity, especially in earthquakes and seismic zones such as this, these fault lines, San Andreas, the Hayward Fault, the New Madrid Fault, all of these things, and as we just showed you here. But also, when we get to the book of Revelation, some people don't know this, but I'm going to show you that when we get into the tribulation, when we get into that period, there is going, it appears that there is going to be this type of solar activity happening on the earth, and it will be so intense. I want to give you, let me show you the verbiage that's used by John the Revelator describing this event. All right, Revelation 16, let's start at verse 8. Listen to this. Revelation 16, 8 and 9 is where I'm at if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify. Then the fourth, now again, this is during the tribulation. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. So we see the sun is impacted here. And power was given to him to, look at this, scorch men with fire. Obviously, the fire that's scorching men upon the earth during the tribulation will come directly from the sun, and an angel will be directly involved in this. Why? Because it's a judgment of God. I still get tickled to this day when people try to tell me that the tribulation is not the judgment of God. I don't understand. Do they have a different translation than I'm reading? It literally talks about, or, and they'll even say it's that this is not the wrath of God. And to me, this is absolutely mind-boggling. Revelation 14:10, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Talking about individuals that partake of the mark of the beast, the image of the beast. Revelation 14:9. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Revelation 15:1. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Revelation 15:7. One of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Listen, I could keep going, but I really don't feel like I need to do that. Listen, stop listening to this nonsense. These people tell you things that are completely contradictory to the scriptures. They will get on here in the comments, the tribulation is not the wrath of God. Guys, I just read seven scriptures. How much more do you need? How much more proof do you need that, yes, it is. It is the wrath of Satan. I can show you in there. And it's the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. But I've got good news. Oh, come on, somebody. But you know, I got to leave you with some good news, right? First Thessalonians, and we're not done with the podcast, but I'm talking about just this one interjection here. First Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us, Paul told the church of Thessalonica to wait for his son from heaven. Listen to this, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Guys, this is why I am 100%. I don't sway on this. I believe what the scripture says. And if Paul told us that we are to wait for his son from heaven and that Jesus Christ is going to deliver us from the wrath to come, then I take his word for it. I take his word for it, not some basement theologian. No, I take the word of God and what he said. Now, let me go back to Revelation 16. Look at this. So there's an angel that's directly involved in this. He strikes the sun. As a result of this, the sun will scorch men with fire. Verse 9, this is Revelation 16, 9. And men were scorched with great heat. Y'all see this? All this is directly connected to the sun and solar activity. So in my opinion, guys, we as believers should not be surprised by this report, by these reports, because these things are going to happen. They're going to intensify as birth pangs, and we have not seen anything yet. And it's only going to get worse when we get to the tribulation. All right, now I got to switch gears and I got to address something here. Okay, so let me build a little small foundation on this, because I don't want to, we want to make this really as clear as possible. Jesus said, you will know the times and seasons, right? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Everybody, he said, when there was a group of Pharisees and religious leaders in the time of Jesus, when he was in his earthly ministry, he was standing there and he called them hypocrites. He said, you can look at the sky and you can discern when there's a storm approaching, but you cannot discern the times and seasons in which we're in. So friends, we as believers, we are to understand there was a group of individuals called the sons of Issachar. They understood the times and seasons. They understood these things. There was, I can show you when Jesus was born, that there was a group of individuals that came to him to find him, and they understood cosmic signs in the heavens. They understood that the activity that was happening, the star of Bethlehem, if you would, this was a supernatural event. They saw this and they understood this as an indication that there was something miraculous taking place. And that's what led, when they asked, how did you find the Messiah? They were led by this star, this supernatural celestial event. Okay. So we as believers, we don't look to astrology. We're not looking at our horoscope and looking at certain constellations to figure out our future. That's witchcraft. That's New Age. We don't do that. We don't need to look to the stars and constellations, come on, to get our future. We can look to the Bible and the manual of the one who created those stars in the first place. All right. But you go to Genesis chapter 1. So the Lord says that in Genesis chapter 1, for example, in verse 14, that he put them in the heavens for signs and seasons. And we've done whole entire podcasts on this. So this is why he put them up there. They're not just for luminary purposes, but they're also for times and seasons or appointed times. And those who have discernment understand these things and will know these things. However, here's where it gets dangerous. This is Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. I'm going to read this. But of the day and hour, I said, the day and hour, no one knows. I don't know how much clearer we can get this. We can discern the seasons. We know the times and seasons, but we're talking now, but when you get into what's called date setting, a specific day on the calendar, Jesus himself said of that day, notice he said that day and hour. That's significant. No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So Jesus is saying he doesn't even know. The angels don't know. Jesus doesn't know, but my Father only knows the day and hour of his return. So the Father dictates the day and hour of the return to send his Son, come on, Jesus Christ, to gather his elect from heaven and earth and to catch them up at the trumpet, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. But he says of that day of the rapture, the catching away, the harpazo, the gathering together, no man knows the day nor the hour. And it's amazing to me, inevitably, even with that scripture and knowing this, that year after year after year after year, and this has been going on for decades, guys. Actually, it's more than decades. This has been going on even farther than that. We had people doing this all the way back in the days of the apostles. So for thousands of years, mortal men have ignored the scriptures and tried to date set and tell people the Lord's coming back on this and such date. Okay? And it has a 100% fail rate. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I saw this and was like, here we go again. There was an article from Medium. Saturn's day is coming with four horsemen. Now, when you read down, we're not going to watch the video. There's videos here. Look what they're saying here. Look at the verbiage on your screen. Judgment day. And they've highlighted a date. And it's October 9th, 2024. Okay, look what it says here. 38 days after judgment, Saturn stands still. Notice it says judgment day, October 9th, 2024. I'm going to read this. This is directly right here. I'm showing the screen. In this post, I will do a deeper dive into the significance of Saturn on the coming day of Yahweh. The coming day, which I believe is most likely October 9th, 2024. We have ourselves another date setter. Oh, and this guy is just like Harold Camping. I believe that was his name, Harold Camping. Remember this guy back in, what was it? Refresh my memory, 2011, where he's putting up all the billboards saying that judgment day is coming. There'll be a great earthquake. God is coming. The rapture is going to happen. And all these billboards were everywhere. This guy was saying it was coming. And of course, it came and went. Never happened. And it was an ultimate fail. And he proved to be a false prophet. Why? Because, again, guys, Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. I don't know it. The angels don't know it. And if Jesus doesn't know it, and the angels in heaven, why do people fall for this? This is so sad, guys. This is so sad. It's unbelievable to me that people don't read the Bible. Christians, professed Christians, don't read the Bible, and they're deceived. And this guy's got over 72,000 followers or something like that. On this day, and now again, why is he saying this? Because he says on this day, a heavenly body visible to the naked eyes, located exactly as described in Revelation and other scriptures. Guys, this has happened before. That doesn't mean he's saying the Lord's going to come back on a specific alignment of a constellation. Now, I know what you're saying. I know somebody's going to say, well, hold on here, Brother Ricky. Wait. Didn't you just say there was significance and signs in the sun, moon, and stars? Yes. They're for signs in the sun. To give us, watch this, clarity and understanding to prepare for significant events. Certain judgments that may come, certain transitions of powers and empires and leaders. We talked about the significance of the great American solar eclipse, and I'm going to show you another article in just a second because there's another piece from Charisma where somebody wrote this, and they're talking about how this is a significant sign, and I don't believe it is, and I'm going to show you that it's not. The reason why I said the great American solar eclipse was significant is because, one, this was an event that does not happen but every 200 years. Number two, it formed an X because the first one came through in 2017, I believe it was. And then the next one came through and it formed an X and right over America. And there was all these other events that was tied to this. And then a month after that event, and I talked about, listen, this is significant. Solar eclipses in the earth that are visible in the earth are a sign, could be a sign of judgment to Gentile nations. Whereas blood moons that are seen visible in Israel, not just if it's in Brazil or Argentina or in America, blood moon, that is not significant. But if it's a blood moon that is visible in Israel on feast days, that you better pay attention to that. That's significant. Okay, so the solar eclipse that was visible in America, the Great American Solar Eclipse, was significant because it was a solar eclipse that was that stretched all the way across North America, but it also was in conjunction. The timing of it was impeccable. And I don't have time. Listen, you can go back and watch our videos. There was historical wars that was connected with this. There was certain comets that was seen. There was a horned comet that was in the heavens in the same conjunction of this solar eclipse. And there was, again, back in 1811, 1812 of the New Madrid, where this X formed from these solar eclipses conjoining across each other. There was a comet that was visible then before the earthquakes of 1811, 1812. So there's a lot of significance of this. And then a month after the great Northern American eclipse that we just had, there was an earthquake, a rare, super rare earthquake that happened in New Jersey. Okay. And then we had a major transition in the White House with the whole Harris and Biden thing, this shakeup. So don't tell me that there was not significant events that took place. And also, and guys, in that same year, we had the events that took place in Israel that took place on October 7th. Okay, so there's things happening if you're paying attention to. But, however, again, we've got to be careful when you see these people getting out here and taking the certain solar eclipses, blood moons, alignments of stars, and putting a date on it and saying this stuff. We've got another video here. Here's this guy's actual video, and you're going to see this is where he's coming up with this stuff. And again, he's putting this date as the rapture of the church. Again, this is not good. And I feel sorry for this guy because he's literally just ruined his reputation. Okay, watch, here we go.
On October 9th, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Behold, a door standing open in the sky, the golden gate of the ecliptic. And one sits in the sky, and he was to look upon like a sardine stone. And behold, he stands at the door and knocks. And 3:20 a.m. in Israel starts a half hour of stillness in the sky as Jupiter enters.
Okay, stop. First of all, this is self-interpretation. Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You go read that. That's seven churches of Asia. Jesus is literally standing out the door. This is an apostate era of the church where the church is continuing to have services. They're going through the motions and Jesus is not even a part of it. He's standing outside of the door. Now, this has nothing to do with celestial alignments of these events.
Retrograde. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the sky as like half an hour. So, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall rapture into his house the third day?
What?
That the shadow return backward 10 degrees, and Yahuwah brought the shadow 10 degrees backward. Then Jupiter moves backward 10 degrees in the sky and exits eastward by the same, exactly as Ezekiel describes when he says, the prince...
Now, did you hear what he said? It's exactly like Ezekiel describes. Again, this is all of a private interpretation. This is not proper contextual interpretation of Scripture.
Shall
guys.
Enter by way of the porch of the east gate and go out the same gate. Only the prince may sit to eat bread before Yahuwah. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me.
All right. And as I said before, this guy's putting up billboards. Here's one of them right here. I want to show you this video of somebody who filmed this showing the billboard. Now, I'm going to mute this. Because there's a lot of road noise in this, and I understand people listen to these podcasts by headphones, so you're welcome. I'm sparing you a lot of your ears being blown out by this because it is very loud because it's on the interstate. But I'm going to go ahead and play the clip here while we're talking. But see, look at this. Here is the billboard. These guys are putting it up here. Look, and you can see over here on the screen, paid for there by this company right here, Fractelli, however you pronounce it, LLC, October9th.com. You go to October9th.com. I just showed you. It is an entire website dedicated to telling people that that Jesus Christ is going to return on October 9th, and that's when judgment's coming and the rapture of the church. So again, this is what he's filming here. And he's zooming in and he's showing you in these billboards. Apparently these billboards are already up in certain cities. And again, guys, like I said, this gives off this whole Harold Camping vibes. Look, see, remember this? This was the whole May 21st, 2011. They were putting up all these billboards saying Judgment Day was coming. I don't know if y'all remember this, but I remember this because we did reports on this. We've been doing this for a long time. Here's another billboard. Judgment Day is coming. May 21st, 2011. And this is putting off the same vibes of this. This was all over the place. And again, as I said before, they even had, I believe they had trucks that rode out. Yeah, here we go. Let me fast forward this right here. They even had these trucks that rode out, these vans, saying they had this all. I mean, I can't imagine the amount of money that was spent on this. So again, this is sad because if these people would read the Word of God, they will know that you cannot date set. And I want to warn you, if you're on Telegram, YouTube, a blog, a group page, part of a group in a church, and you've got somebody going around date setting like this, you need to mark them and avoid them, because I'm telling you, they're going to cause a lot of damage. Because there's people, believe it or not, obviously, they're very gullible. They don't read the Bible. They don't spend time with God. And they're gullible. They'll eat this stuff up and they'll believe this stuff. And it makes the whole body of Christ a laughing stock. All right, now we got another story I want to cover. This is from Charisma. This is another example. The Ring of Fire Rosh Hashanah eclipse is coming soon. Okay, let's scroll down and see what it says here. Why do solar eclipses keep falling on such noteworthy dates? In 2024, there will be a total of just two solar eclipses. The first happened on April 8, 2024. That was known as the Great American Eclipse. We just talked about that, and it occurred just after the sun had gone down in Israel, and the first day of the first month on the Hebrew calendar had begun. Now, here's what they're talking about. The second solar eclipse of 2024 will take place on October 2nd. When it occurs, the sun will have just gone down in Israel, but again, the eclipse is not going to be visible in Israel, and the festival of Rosh Hashanah will have just started. I realize that this is a lot to process, and so let it sink in for a moment. Is it just a coincidence that the first eclipse on 2024 just happened to fall on the very first day of the very first month of the Hebrew calendar, and the second solar eclipse of 2024 just happens to fall on the day that it celebrated the Jewish New Year? Now, stop again. I'm only telling you guys from rabbinical Hebrew sources. I cannot find anywhere where solar eclipses happening not in Israel, not on feast days, anywhere are any significance other than depending on the visibility of that eclipse. It is mere a significance to Gentile nations, but not Israel. Now, just so we can cover this, let me pull this up. All right, so where can we see this annual solar eclipse on October 2nd, 2024? All right, look what it says here. The Ring of Fire annular solar eclipse on October 2nd will pass through the Pacific and South America. Okay, this is not, when you go and study this, this particular solar eclipse is not significant like the Great American Solar Eclipse. It's not a rarity. It's, again, it's an annular solar eclipse. This doesn't have the weight behind it like the Great American Eclipse, with all the significant parallels and the events that transpired and all those things. So this, in my opinion, guys, this is not significant at all. There's no significance. It's not visible in Israel. It's not a major celestial event like we had again in the Great American Eclipse. When we scroll down right here, you can see the trajectory of this eclipse. Guys, look, it's literally going across the ocean. Easter Island, this is the point of the greatest eclipse. It's literally out in the middle of the ocean. There's no significance of this at all. Now, I hate to burst your bubble, and I know people will attack me in the comments, but I see this spreading all over social media and stuff, and there's just no significance of this at all. I'm sorry, but there's not. Now, again, am I saying there's no significance in signs in the heavens? No, I am not. But we have to understand, we have to get a clarity of this. We have to understand a clear clarification of what we're talking about here. If it's an event that captures the world, think about the Great American Solar Eclipse, guys. Look what the people was traveling all over the nation. I mean, this was all over the mainstream media news. It was a national event. Even outside of America, there was other countries that was heavily intrigued by this event. This, on the significance of this this eclipse or whatever, and look, what they're trying to do is put these things together. People are so desperate for the rapture of the church to happen or the coming of the Lord that they begin to try to make and force things to fit when it doesn't. And I think that's what's going on with that article from Charisma and this event. And I don't really need to explain to you about the one I just showed you about them saying it October, what was it again? October 9th, saying this is judgment day, the rapture again, guys, this is foolishness. Jesus said, I don't know the day. The angels don't know, but only my Father in heaven. So listen, no mortal man is going to know this. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I hope you've enjoyed today's segment. I know it's a little different, but we needed to talk about that. We need to discuss this. So let's recap real quick, 30 seconds. Listen, if the sun increases its solar activity, we could have much bigger fish to fry than worrying about whether or not there's an eclipse going across the middle of the ocean that's not going to be any significant. We're talking about major communication disruptions. We're talking about just the everyday activities could be disrupted if we have anything like what we had in May that's even on a greater scale. Also, again, I've showed you that earthquake activity can increase. And we need to be paying attention to that, especially you guys on California, on that coastline. It's already happened. There's a swarm happening. You've got the earth opening up with cracks. Then you've got, again, I showed you in Revelation that when we get into the tribulation period, that because the heat of the earth is going to increase and continue to increase, it's going to get so intensified that even in the time of the tribulation, that men will be scorched by great heat and they'll blaspheme the God of heaven. Okay? So we wanted to bring some balance here today. If you know some people that are sharing this nonsense about October 9th, all that, you need to bring up that scripture. Tell them, guys, this is not significant because Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. So I would advise them. You know, it's just sad. To me, it's sad on two counts. One, that those individuals that do that completely destroy their reputation. They ruin it. They've lost all credibility. Number two, it makes the body of Christ, again, look like a laughing stock. Because they make these predictions that Jesus is coming, the rapture's coming, judgment's coming, and nothing happens. And again, it not only do they lose their credibility, but it makes Christianity lose its credibility because these people claim to represent Christianity, but again, they are a reproach to the body of Christ. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, guys, I want to encourage you to do that today. Pick it up at your Play Store. You can pick it up, again, on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away, and you're going to be good to go. And as always, guys, we want to encourage you to support our ministry. If the Lord puts it upon your heart, if this is your home church, whatever your relationship is, you can do that by simply going to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, or download the app. And when you download the app, you can give there at the app or on the main website. You can give electronically, or you can give right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Now, before we go, please stick around because I want to share with you one last testimony. This was an amazing testimony. And I know because we've got about 2 minutes before we have to close this thing down. We received an email. If y'all remember, I did a podcast last week and I talked about how the Lord called, the day the Lord called me and the supernatural intervention. Y'all remember that podcast? If you didn't watch it, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that. A powerful testimony, to God be the glory. And I talked about how God supernaturally protected me during a car accident that I should have probably died in. But the Lord supernatural intervened. Listen to this. Within the same day that we streamed that broadcast, we got an email. And I want to read this email. And now this is from a couple. And I already asked them and they gave me permission to share this. This is profound. This is how God works and it's amazing. I'm going to read this. Quote, "Good afternoon, Pastor Ricky. My husband and I are compelled to write to you following last night's sermon supernatural intervention. We have been following your ministry for years, and we love tuning in to hear your sermons during the week. Yesterday afternoon, following work, we left our house at 4:44 p.m. in order to run some errands. We live in the state of Delaware near the Maryland line. Our development is located on a back winding road with no shoulder except one small area for cars to go around if a vehicle is turning into our neighborhood. Individuals from Maryland often use that back winding road to bypass the I-95 toll booth, and they tend to travel well above the speed limit. As we were leaving our development, my husband stopped and looking both directions a couple of times. He is a very good and cautious driver, she put that in parentheses, and he proceeded to make a left-hand turn. As we entered the roadway, a vehicle appeared out of nowhere on our left-hand side, traveling at a high rate of speed. We had just entered the roadway, and I feared that we would not be able to negotiate the complete turn without avoiding a collision. I saw his hands moving quickly on the steering wheel as our car accelerated, turning the car sharply and quickly to the left while avoiding a telephone pole nearby. It is important to note that while, and she talks about her husband, it is important to note that Chris was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in his late 20s, and now he's in his mid-40s and suffers from this pain, stiffness, and limited range of motion in both of his hands and wrists, or he suffers from this. After we successfully avoided the other vehicle, we both immediately praised God for saving and protecting us. I commented that I could not believe how fast his hands were moving, and he responded that it wasn't him that negotiated the turn, that his hands were moved for him. Wow. We both said Jesus took the wheel. They had not even listened to our podcast, guys. They had not even listened to it. And this happened. As we returned home and finished dinner, we settled in to watch your sermon. We both had chills as you discussed this car accident and what led you to your ministry. When you described that you did not maneuver your vehicle as it veered from one side to one side of a four-lane highway to the other, but you landed safely and knew that Jesus had, and I even made the statement, excuse me, that Jesus took the wheel. It brought me to tears. We both praise God after his faithfulness. We do not believe in coincidences, but believe wholeheartedly in the power of God and his supernatural intervention. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. What is that? What am I talking about? I'm talking about God moves on these broadcasts, friends. We shared with you two amazing testimonies, one at the beginning and one at the end. One through a live prayer session that we did last night. And then these sermons that we deliver, these sermons that we deliver where I feel led to deliver and share testimonies. And then you have something like that happen. I'm telling you, this is an amazing thing. One, it gives God glory. And two, it lets me know, it builds up my faith because it lets me know that I'm hearing from heaven and that God is speaking to my heart, and then I'm being obedient to that, and lives are being changed. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you, and shout out to that couple. You know who you are. And thank you for sharing that, and praise God that God intervened and kept you safe. Again, we want to encourage you, Monday nights, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, live prayer right here on YouTube. Be a part of that. If you missed it this past Monday, you don't want to miss that next Monday. We're going to sign off for tonight. Again, please hit that like button, hit that share button. And so you can keep up with our ministry. We're going to sign off. We'll be back tomorrow night, Lord willing, Wednesday night, September 11th, the anniversary of 9/11. We plan on being here tomorrow night, Lord willing. 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. So until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.